On this week's episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, we do a quick theme park holiday recap.
And we look at the Fox Disney deal and our spoilers full of Last Jedi review. All this and more on this week's Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Thrill Geek Podcast. We're back after I'll just call it a long winter break.
A brief hiatus.
Yeah, things with my new job and just the holidays and everything was crazy. So I figured we would just kind of coast through the holidays and take things easy and pick things back up here with the new year. Start off fresh. So we're going to do a quick theme park holiday recap. Barry got to do some of the New Year's Eve stuff around the Disney parks, so we'll quick talk about that. And we're also going to dive into The Last Jedi and the Disney 20th Century Fox deal. So, Barry, you had a chance to do some of the New Year's Eve stuff, Epcot and all that stuff. So how was all of that?
It was fun. We did December 30th at Magic Kingdom because, you know, they do it on both nights. New this year was that they did the New Year's Eve countdown fireworks, aka the Fantasy in the Sky show, at 6:30 and at 11:50. So it was good for allowing, I guess, families with kids to have a pretend early New Year's Eve fireworks, because normally they would run either the holiday wishes or regular wishes at that time, and then run just the New Year's Eve that night. So I think that it was probably a smart move on them crowd wise, because it definitely felt like that night, December 30th, it wasn't as packed for the fireworks as it usually is in past when I've gone there on the 30th to do the fireworks. We walked up like 10-15 minutes before the fireworks and had a spot like right near in the center of the hub, no problems.
That's always good.
Yeah, I mean it was not that bad. I know a lot of people when I post on Twitter that were there, they're always like, "You're insane, you're crazy." And it's like, you know, if you know how to deal with the crowds, you can have a good time. You go there, you're going there for the events, to see the shows, because they have like the Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration going on. You know, they have a lot of the holiday shows that normally you can't see unless you go to the parties. So, I mean, we go there, we had a great time, had no problem getting out of there. Yeah.
That's the case with, you know, us locals. We figure out the ins and outs, you know, just not during the holiday season, during the busy summer times. You learn your ways around the crowds.
Yeah, it's all about, especially with Disney, scheduling your three fast passes back to back to back. Yeah, and you do them, you enjoy some of the entertainment that's going on, and it's worth it for that fireworks display. That finale is just, you're 360 degrees of fireworks are going off around you,
and they did that for both of them.
Yeah, they did that for both of them, and it's worth it for you know, it's worth dealing with the crowds to experience something like that, because they only do that a few times a year now. It's not even the parties, you don't get 360 degrees of fireworks anymore.
What are the other? They do it for the fourth, right?
The fourth, and the fourth show is pretty impressive too. But the New Year's Eve one, that finale is amazing. And then for New Year's Eve, we went over to Epcot, and some people go there all day. I don't know how they do that. We didn't go till 8 o'clock. I mean, we're locals. We have passes. We don't need to get there early.
Yeah.
And, it's Epcot's big thing is the giant dance parties they do. And some of them are very elaborate. We went through all of them. We did the one where you get to wear the silent dance party, where you get to wear the headphones and you can choose from like two different DJs. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I've never, every year I see that, and one year I keep telling myself I got to get over there and do it.
Yeah. It was pretty neat. You could listen to whoever you wanted to. And,
what do they play on the headphones? Is it like just like a random playlist or?
No, there's two actual DJs there, and one does more of like a a poppy top 40, and one's more like mashups of you know, different genres and stuff.
Gotcha.
You know, and you know, we went there. We went to the one in UK, which was more like a rock and roll dance party, because they have the DJ, and then in between DJs, they have, you know, British Revolution play. So that's more of like a rock and roll dance party in the UK.
Yeah.
And then you work your way around, and in the US at the America Gardens Theater is like the Caliente party, where they actually have a Latin band playing. And you actually get to go up on the stage there and,
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Dance. Yeah, it's pretty neat to be able to actually get to go up on the stage, and the band's up there. And if the band's not playing, then there's a DJ playing.
That's cool.
And then, of course, the two big ones that everybody always, you know, sees video and pictures from every year is Italy, which has just an insane light show. All kinds of computerized lights and lasers, and it's, you know, it's very much straight up dance music in that one. And then China, you get over to China, and it has the giant, you know, smoke breathing dragon, and then has like multiple has a whole grid around the dance floor there with fire shooting out the top of it. And that one's always fun. So it's, you know, we sort of worked our way around to the different parties, and found a spot for actually got a halfway decent spot for the fireworks like 20 minutes beforehand. And, you know, it starts at like, I believe it was like 11:40, and they go through the regular illuminations. And then the cool thing with Epcot is they go in the order of the countries that celebrated the new year. And each country gets their own, almost each country gets their own fireworks display.
Yeah.
For each specific country. And then, you know, it gets to the final countdown, you know, which is basically the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And then it shoots off. In intensity, the Epcot show is way more intense than the Magic Kingdom show, because, you know, there's, you know, fireworks shoot up above the countries. It's shooting up above the lagoon.
I watched your Facebook video, and the Epcot New Year's Eve fireworks always are just like ridiculous.
Oh yeah, no, that last minute is just,
it's insane.
It's insane, and it's like the most fireworks, you know, I've ever experienced going off right in front of you, and it's just, you can feel them like hitting you. You can feel the sound hitting you as they're going off.
And, I actually heard it here at my house. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty loud, and you can also see, you know, you can see the fireworks over the studios going off at the same time, and actually the funny thing is their fireworks end up lasting the longest after midnight, because I guess the way they start the show there, it's a little bit different. We thought we had a plan to get out of there quickly this year, and
didn't work out.
Not as bad as last year. Last year, some people who follow us know we didn't leave that parking lot till 3:30 in the morning last year.
Yeah.
Last year we stayed until park closed. They did. I will say this: they did a better job of getting the traffic out of there this year. But it's just the way that parking lot is designed. It just, you've got to be parked in the right spot.
Yeah, because it all pretty much bottlenecks.
Yeah, it all bottlenecks. And I thought I had parked in the right spot, but I didn't. It's funny, if it hadn't been for some maneuvering of some other people, we wouldn't have gotten out as soon as we did, because we were able to like cut across the parking lot to get to the other side of the parking lot to get out that way. So luckily some other people decided to make that maneuver, and we squeezed in right behind them. So
yeah.
So it's, you know, it's always the chance you take with going to Epcot is getting out of that parking lot quickly. It's, you got to know what you're doing. And But so, it was worth it. It was fun. It's always a blast. And, not everybody does it. You know, you get to ring in the new year, with, you know, one of the coolest fireworks displays in the country. So
yeah, it's always really cool watching it. It's been a few years since I've been there. Having three kids, it'll probably be a few more years.
Yeah, no, it's something it's always insane. I mean, the Magic Kingdom this year, apparently for New Year's Eve, was really nuts. I mean, it was blocked out for a while to everyone except for, you know, hotel guests and premier pass holders. It was blocked out for hours this year. I've never experienced New Year's Eve there, and I don't know if I want to. So
at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. It's much better to go on the 30th and be able to enjoy the fireworks that night. So
sure. So, you did, what else did you do real quick over the holidays? You went to Six Flags over Georgia. How was that really quick?
Yeah, we did a quick visit to Six Flags over Georgia while we were out of town, and their Holiday in the Park event is fun. I mean, it's not anything on the level of here. It's Six Flags, but they do have a lot of nice, if you saw on our Twitter feed, a lot of really cool looking, light displays.
Yeah, I scrolled through and I checked them out, and some of the lighting displays looked pretty neat.
Yeah, some of the lighting displays are really great. You know, a lot of the rides are open. We rode the new Justice League ride, and for Six Flags, it's very impressive.
Yeah, I rode it at Six Flags over Texas.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and it was really the only ride we rode that night because we were only there for a few hours. And, but you know, it's, if you get a chance to do Holiday in the Park, the best time to do it is when they're doing it on a weeknight. If you can, when they're doing it like on a Friday night, it's better to go then.
Did they have a lot of the coasters open or?
Oh yeah. Goliath was open. Georgia Scorcher was open. And if you saw on our Twitter feed, we posted some pictures of the current construction of, the redo of was it Twisted Cyclone?
Yeah, Georgia Cyclone, Twisted Cyclone.
Yeah, so but Scorcher was open. Superman Ultimate Flight was open, which was a new thing this year. But most of the coasters were open outside of, obviously, the Cyclone and the Great American Scream Machine.
Yeah, and it was pretty chilly, right, as far as the weather goes?
Oh, it was cold. It was pretty cold, but we had a good time. And like I said, if you're in the Atlanta area during that time of the year, I would recommend it. And there's always usually good discount ticket deals that you can get. I would recommend it. But if you want to ride rides, you get there before the park opens.
Yeah.
While it's still light, you'll be able to get a lot of good rides in. But once it gets dark, it's, just enjoy all the Christmas stuff.
It'll be a little bit warmer too.
Yeah,
a few degrees. So yeah. All right, I think that's about it for our holiday coverage. It's a new year, so lots of exciting things going on this year that we got looking forward to. So let's dive into The Last Jedi. I've been anxious to hear, like I told you before we started recording, we haven't seen each other since the movie's come out, so I've been curious to hear what you think of it. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Before we start this, this will be a spoiled inner Last Jedi review. So you got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to skip over this, to our next story, which we will talk about after that. I like The Last Jedi. I am amazed at some of the hate that this movie has been getting.
That's one of the biggest topics has been the negativity towards it from the Star Wars, from the big Star Wars fans.
Yeah. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
I was a kid,
I was the perfect age when the original movie came out. I mean, I saw everything, I don't want to give my age away on here, but I've seen all the movie. I saw the original trilogy in the theaters multiple times. And, yeah. I am a huge Star Wars fan. But I will say this, based on the trailers, based on, you know, the TV spots, I had no clue what was going to happen in this movie. And it surprised me in so many ways.
I think the people that even had a clue were completely thrown off by some of the stuff that happened in the movie. You know?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not shocked by the way Luke was. I mean, you know, it's sort of, it gets, you know, you thought that, you know, you were creating this new generation of Jedi and, you know, we find out because you screwed up and had a moment of weakness.
Yeah.
You know, you caused the destruction of this generation of Jedi, and for, you know, your nephew, you know, who his care had been entrusted to him by, you know, his sister and his best friend.
Yeah.
Turn on him and destroy everything. Of course, Luke would feel like a failure and would, you know, would walk away and turn away from the Force and turn, you know, not even connect to the Force anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I like the way that was done, where you saw the point of view three different times. You know, I liked how they showed the point of view from Ben's point of view, that, you know, of course, Luke looked like a monster to him.
Yeah.
You know, and especially, I loved
the, especially during the flashback scene, like how they portrayed it differently.
Yeah, that's in his version of the story. Yeah, Luke looked like a monster. And then, you know, in the final, when Luke finally told Rey the full truth, it's, you know, they showed the look in Ben's eyes when Luke was over him. You know, it was sheer terror.
Yeah.
You know? And I liked all that. I like the fact that and this is the thing I've pounded on before. I'm glad Rey's parents aren't anybody we know. You know, it's, I think part of the point of, it seems to be this trilogy, is it's time for the Skywalker saga to end.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's going to end the next movie.
Yeah. They gotta wrap it up.
But I did not see the twist. I did not, you know, I love how people get pissy about Snoke dying, but it's like Snoke was just like another emperor.
Yeah. I had to kind of digest that, because at first I was like, oh my God, I was like, did he just die?
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, and I was like, in the Force Awakens, they created him as this big mysterious character, and everybody was guessing who's Snoke. And then they go and they just kill him off.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's, people have spent 2 years coming up with these theories. I think that's part of the other problem, these theories in their head, and this movie didn't justify any of them.
Yeah, that's
true. It took everything in a completely different direction. You know, as far as, you know, the opening scene, having it pick up, you know, obviously not directly after, but I guess within hours or days after, you know, The Force Awakens. I mean, I guess I understand why it was done that way. I'm imagining with Episode 9, there's going to have to be a gigantic time jump.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately means once again, years are going to go by of story that we don't get to see, you know, I mean, much that like that was done in the prequels where we basically skipped the entire Clone Wars.
let me ask you, what did you think of the new characters, in particular Rose, her thing with Poe, or not Poe, her whole side story?
I didn't have a problem with Rose. I understand. People were like, well, their whole mission turned out to be for nothing. Well, it's like, that was the point of it.
Yeah.
The point of it was to show the folly, you know, if Poe had just listened, that, you know, and just followed orders, you know, they wouldn't be in the worst position that they were in. But no, he, you know, that was, I think that was Poe's arc, is by the end of the movie, he learns, you know, what you have to do to be a leader.
He just wants to go and blow stuff up.
Yeah, he just wants to go and blow stuff up, which I think is a good setup for the next movie, because obviously he's going to become the leader of the resistance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'll get later to the giant corner they painted themselves into. You know, Leia, I know people didn't like that scene where she gets blown out of the bridge, and
that was so weird. I was just so weirded out by that scene. Even the second time, I was like, I still couldn't get it.
I think, you know what? I think people would, I think if she had been posed a different way, I don't think it would have been as freaked out as some people are. To me, the point of the scene was to show that she is way more powerful in the Force than anybody really knows.
Sure.
Because it's obvious, you know, and they've even said that Episode 9 was supposed to be her movie. And
yeah,
I think it was going to become a showdown between mother and son, you know, and I, you know, it sucks that we're not going to get that. But
that was the other thing, is that I was confused that they didn't wrap up. They didn't, I mean, with her dying, with Carrie Fisher passing, I was very interested to see how they changed that in the movie, but they didn't.
He has painted him into a giant corner.
Yeah.
That I think the only way it's going to get resolved, I mean, we can all come up with our fan theories. Either they're just going to say it in the crawl of the next movie, or it's going to open with her funeral.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can think of them dealing with this. Cause
you don't think they'll CG her?
They've said that they won't, you know, yeah. The decision, even if they ever consider that, would be up to her daughter. Who had a bigger role in this movie, too. So, you know,
yeah, it was really cool how big of a role she had in the movie.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if she has an even larger role, in the next movie. So, obviously she's not her daughter in the movie, but still, I mean, she's a pretty good actress to begin with. So, you know, they have really painted themselves into a corner, you know, and we haven't even gotten to, you know, I thought Mark Hamill was awesome. You know, I totally did not see Yoda coming out of nowhere.
I don't think anybody saw that.
My jaw dropped on the floor when that happened.
And what I loved about that was it wasn't creepy CG Yoda. It was like the old school, like, puppet Yoda. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they went back to and found the design, you know, for the original puppet and also the puppet, the way he looked in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, love that.
And built a brand new puppet for Frank Oz to puppet for it. And then they just put a little bit of shimmer on him as far as the Force Ghost effect.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, that's, you know, some controversies over that, because it's like, how did he, you know, so a Force Ghost has powers now? You know, it's,
yeah, that was the other thing that was boggling my mind, was how all that stuff went down with him and stuff, and, you know, the Luke projecting himself at the end of the movie, and
that to me, I could see that. I realized what it was, that was another, like, my jaw dropped on the floor type moments. I had a feeling it was, because it's like, I was like, how the heck did he get? He's a number one, because the way he looked, I knew something was off about that. Because it's like, oh no, he didn't just all of a sudden clean himself up. It's like, no, he's projecting this image to everyone that, you know, that, and that's the whole point of everything that happens at, and with that scene is in, cause they've talked about it. They talked about being a legend, and that's exactly what he did, was to create a new legend.
Yeah.
You know, that Luke Skywalker stood up to the entire,
First order.
And, yeah.
I went back after, and I was like, so what were some of the telling signs of him being a projection? And, you know, the footprints, there was no footprints in the salt.
There was no footprints, yeah.
And his lightsaber should have been a big one, because remember, his lightsaber got destroyed when Kylo Ren and Rey are fighting all those, I forgot what they're called, the red soldiers there after...
Yeah.
During that whole debacle, his lightsaber got destroyed and he had it there.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that would have given it away if anybody was paying attention. But that whole scene was really cool with him coming out there on the planet and facing it and him getting blown to smithereens supposedly, and seeing our buddy Kylo Ren get all mad and angry again.
Oh no, I think a lot of the dislike this movie comes down to how Luke was handled, which, I mean, I don't think what do you expect him to come swashbuckling back and, you know?
Well, again, I think that's what a lot of people expected, was to, you know, Luke come back and be the savior and save the day.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's the whole point of this trilogy, is it's not their story anymore.
Yeah.
And I think this movie hammered it in more than any, is that this is no longer their story.
I don't know if you read them, but I saw several articles mentioning that Mark Hamill himself didn't like the way that Luke was treated in this movie.
Yeah, I think he sort of came back with that and also said, it's like, you know, but in the end, you know, it's what, you know, what they decided, and he's, you know, in the end he was fine with that, and it may be the best thing for it. It's like the one thing I like with this movie is there's nothing predictable about it. There's nothing safe about it. Unlike The Force Awakens, which
I think that was one of the biggest things I liked about it too, was you right when you thought it was going to go one way, it did a complete U-turn and went the complete opposite way. Like the whole movie.
And we haven't even gotten to the whole Rey Kylo Ren thing. You know, that whole thing with Snoke connecting them, and, you know, her, once again, you know, parallels to the past of her rushing off thinking she can save him. And apparently at the same time, you know, and this is what makes Ben even more evil, is the fact that not only was he, you know, playing Snoke, but he was playing Rey at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. The fight scene is amazing, that it just, that's, and especially the way it opens with that single shot.
Yeah. I love that whole scene with them fighting the
Snoke's guards. Yeah.
Yeah. They have some weird guard name, because they're the ones that are designed after the
Imperial Guards.
The Imperial Guards. But yeah, I love that whole fight scene where they, you know, him and Kylo and Rey like almost team up and fight those guards. That was a cool scene.
Oh no, it was amazing. And then after the scene, after that whole fight's over with, and just, you know, when he starts, you know, going, and I thought, like, Daisy really just did a great job of just like, no, Ben, please don't do this. And, I mean, if there's any, you know, I've said since the first movie, this will not be a redemption story. And, you know, this movie pretty much sealed the fact that this is not going to be a redemption story.
Yeah. And I think that scene had a lot to do with it, just the way it ended.
Yeah. And like my big thing too, you know, I guess we sort of skipped over. I had no problem with Rose. I really liked what's her name, Kelly Marie Tran. I thought she did a great job. I mean, you know, you need someone in all this darkness. You know, she was like the one like positive person and with all this horrible things going on around here. And, you know, yeah, was their side mission ultimately futile? Yes. But that was the whole point of it, was the fact that it was doomed, you know, and that, you know, if Poe had listened and had followed orders, none of that would have happened. You know, and then ultimately Admiral Holdo wouldn't have had to, like, you know, do what she did, which is, by the way, one of the coolest freaking things I've ever seen in Star Wars.
Because the whole deathly quiet scene where she hyper.
Yeah. Going basically when it was happening, when she hopped in that chair, I was like, oh, my God, I was like, oh, my God, is she going to do what I think she's going to do? Because it's like, as a Star Wars fan, it's something we've talked about, like, you know, what if you jumped right into a fleet, you know, what if you set a ship to literally slam right into the middle of a fleet? And
after that scene, I was like, why hasn't anybody thought of this before?
When she was sitting there and she was like firing up and punching, I was like, oh my God, they're going to do what I think they're going to do.
And I was like, this,
and I this loved how they do weapon. It. I loved how they did it too, with the, just the silence, which is really the one most of the time in Star Wars. That's, you know, there's really not supposed to be any sound in space. You're supposed to hear TIE fighters screaming and stuff, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, we've sort of had the consensus that was in the Star Wars universe, you know, starfighter battles are like World War II dogfights. You know, it's not realistic space dogfighting. But I love that, just the shot of it, of the ships just splitting, and just the silence was just one of the coolest moments in any Star Wars film.
Yeah, it was cool in the theater.
And speaking of visually, this movie is maybe the most visually stunning Star Wars film of any of them. It's just, there's so many moments visual wise that are just like just jaw dropping, and the special effects, and especially if you want to talk pushing to the next level, the whole scene on Snoke's ship when Finn, you know, battles Phasma, and there's just fire exploding everywhere. Finn and Rose jump on, you know, BB-8 takes over that walker, and, you know, Finn and Rose jump on, and that shot, I mean, that is a, like, you know, a special effects nightmare shot when you have human beings jumping on a CGI thing going through fire.
Yeah.
And it's just stunning in its perfection. I mean,
speaking of that scene, I was hoping to get a little bit more out of Phasma and that whole scene. I felt like it was, the fight was pitiful.
Well, it's funny. The funny thing with this movie, and you know, Kevin Smith said it best, where there's so many beats in this movie that are almost like a giant FU to J.J. Abrams and The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It's like Phasma, she's gone. Snoke, bye.
Gone. Yeah. I mean,
it's like,
I don't,
Rey's parentage, she's nobody, you know?
I mean, I don't mind that they killed off Phasma, but I was just wanting a little bit more out of the whole fight scene between those two.
Yeah, I mean, she never was a character that was used as much as her hype was. I mean, She's definitely an example. It almost feels like her character was basically used to sell toys.
Yeah.
And that was about
it. She had next to no character development in The Force Awakens.
No, I believe all her character development has occurred in comic books and books. So, she's just going to be one of those characters like Boba Fett. You know,
yeah.
Boba Fett's backstory was basically created in books and comics, you know.
Yeah.
So she's just going to be one of those Star Wars characters that, you know, maybe one day we'll find out who Snoke really is. I would imagine we'll find at some point there'll be a comic book series or a novel that will go into that whole time in the First Order.
That's what everybody was saying, that we'll find out what Snoke's past was via comic book or something of that sort.
Yeah, and speaking of selling toys, the Porgs, I'd have a problem with that. It added to some funny scenes in the movie.
They were, you know, everybody was hoping that the Porgs weren't going to be another Jar Jar Binks and used excessively in the movie. And I think they were done tastefully.
No, it was hilarious, you know, which is another thing. I know some people complain about the humor in the movie. It's like, Star Wars movies have always had humor in them. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it doesn't work.
There was a lot of people complaining about the opening scene with Poe in the X-Wing talking to, what's his name?
Oh, to Hux.
Yeah. And then I saw somebody on Twitter was like, dear people that are complaining about the opening scene of The Last Jedi, do you remember this scene? It's from when Han Solo's talking to the guys in the control room on the Death Star.
Yeah.
And he's like, everything's fine. We're okay.
Are you okay?
He's like, we're sending a unit. He's like, no, that's okay. And this person was like, yeah, you guys forgot about this scene, which is very similar. So,
well, it's just so many people have such rose colored glasses when they look at the original trilogy, and the original trilogy had flaws. Is this movie perfect? No, it's not a perfect movie. It drags in the middle. The Canto Bight stuff does drag.
That was you know, what's funny, not really off topic, but when me and Jordan went to the Disney Parks blog showing at Disney Springs, he had to go to the bathroom right at that scene where they jump on those things and they smash through the walls and everything.
Yeah.
So the second time me and Cheryl went to go see it, I watched that scene. I was like, oh, this is like the perfect scene to go to the bathroom in.
Yeah. That's what people complain. Well, they went there and, you know, ultimately their plot, nothing happens. It's like, well, that happens sometimes. That was, like I said, it's the whole point of their plot is everything they did, you know, ended up not affecting things and because of the stupid decision Poe made.
Yeah.
I know this review's been all over the place. But it's just, I liked the movie. I liked it better the second time I saw it. It did help that I saw it the second time at an AMC Dolby Cinema.
They had two viewings that night at the Disney Parks blog meetup, and we didn't get the cool Dolby theater, unfortunately, but we got one of the big ones.
Yeah, I think it's where they usually have the big one that's got the balcony.
That one
that's where we saw Coco when they did their thing.
Which reminds me, I have to get you your Christmas ornament to you before we pack up our Christmas tree.
Yes. But I like the movie. We haven't seen it a third time because we've just been busy, and actually we'll probably go this week to see it a third time. It's a game changer when it comes to Star Wars movies. Like I said, they've painted themselves into a corner with the ending of the movie.
Yeah. I was just going to kind of, you kept mentioning that they kind of painted themselves into the corner, and I was going to ask you, where do you think, really quickly, do you think episode 9 is going to go? Do you have any speculation or inclination as to what you
think? I mean, obviously now it's going to come down to a showdown between Rey and Kylo Ren. I mean, that's obvious where it's going to go.
Yeah.
I've got to imagine there's going to have to be a time jump, which once again is, I really wish they would consider, I mean, I realize the two previous ones were trilogies, but I really wish it's time to almost, in the age of stuff like Harry Potter and the Marvel Universe, trying to wrap this story up in three movies, it feels like the next movie is going to be rushed.
Yeah.
And you know, is this it? We're going to get to spend with these characters. It seems to me it's sort of a waste in this day and age that this is just going to be the end of their story.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, we should be able to at least have another group of movies with these characters. And I hope so. It would be nice. I just don't think you need to have just, you know, obviously, you know, Rian Johnson's now working on another trilogy that'll take place in another place and time in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I forgot that was announced.
But I hope episode 9 isn't the end of these characters.
We'll have to wait another 40 years.
I hope it's not that long. You know, I hope we get to see more with these characters, because, you know, we only know so much about Rey, and you know, we haven't really touched a lot about her in the movie. And, you know, she's such a divisive figure with so many people, because it's like, oh, how does she have all this power and she can do it? It's like, Luke didn't get a lot of training.
Yeah.
You know, and
she's following almost the same footprint.
You know, the interesting thing with her is she seems to face the dark side and not goes right head into it. Yeah, and doesn't succumb to it. And, you know, I think they've really painted the picture of how powerful she is. And she's probably more powerful than Kylo Ren is. But obviously he's more trained than she is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I like the way the movie ended with her, where she just, you know, shut the door on him. And I'm assuming whatever link they had is now severed. And Luke really brought to the point that in their battle at the end, it's like, you will be alone.
You know, yeah.
You know, and that, you know, we haven't even touched the scene with him and Leia, you know, having that scene, and, you know, even she understands there's no saving him now, that he is done. This is it for him. And I loved how, you know, Luke was like, I will haunt, you know, I will never leave you alone. You know, it's, which would be funny if the next movie, you know, you get Force Ghost Luke. And we know Mark Hamill's going to be back in the next movie. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially with Carrie Fisher being gone, I imagine his role may get bigger in the next movie. But it would be hilarious if he showed up to him as a Force ghost, just taunting the crap out of him. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole scene where he shows up and he talks to Leia really quick. It was so simple, but I love the little wink that he gives to 3PO.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very simple and subtle moment, but it was really cool.
Yeah. And I, you know, the whole, I love like the way the movie ended, you know, with, I know some people didn't like the whole little kids thing, but I thought that reinforced the whole thing that Luke did there on Crait, was to create a new legend, you know, because those kids are telling the story of how Luke, you know, you only get a brief, you know, because he's talking in an alien language, but it's like the kids are talking about, he's telling the story of how Luke faced the First Order, and, you know, that was the whole point was, what happened there would create the spark that would, you know, that's ultimately going to burn down the First Order.
If you're not paying attention, you missed that little subtle scene where he picks up the broom there.
Yeah, there's other Force users in the galaxy, you know.
Yeah.
But right now, everything is it. You know, I'm assuming they're going to do probably just like Return of the Jedi. You know, Rey's going to have to figure out how to build a lightsaber. You know, they didn't show Luke building another lightsaber. He just showed up in Return of the Jedi with a new lightsaber. But she also the little thing, she took the techs. You know, they burned down the tree, but the tech, all those Jedi techs weren't inside of them. So she had, you know, she had taken them from the island without Luke knowing.
Oh yeah, that's right, because they were inside the Falcon, right?
Yeah, they showed the when Finn was looking for medical supplies, he pulls open the drawer and there's the Jedi techs sitting in there.
Yeah. So, well, now the long wait begins until 2019.
Yeah, we got 2019. We got the Solo movie coming up here in May that no one knows anything about.
Yeah, there was a really quick on that. There was somebody, I guess Lego released like their Lego sets on the movie.
Yeah.
And apparently one of them's the Millennium Falcon, and it's like, we're going to see the Millennium Falcon like in its prime in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I expect that. And, you know, so, I expect sometime soon here, we'll get a Solo trailer and,
you know, start getting some more details.
Yeah. As far as this goes, I mean, the naysayers and the dislike for this movie just boggle my mind. And then, you know,
there's a lot of them.
I love how they get about the box office too. It's like, this was never going to make as much money as The Force Awakens. Period.
No, I knew that from the get-go. There's no way that the Force Awakens was just a juggernaut, and you know, I'm not saying that The Last Jedi isn't a juggernaut, but it was the first big Star Wars movie with bringing everybody back, and it didn't have the hype of The Last Jedi. Didn't have the hype of The Force Awakens.
No, and it's still going to make an insane amount of money. You know, it's. The only thing that hurts Star Wars in this modern, like, international box office is the fact that Star Wars is just not that popular in China. So it doesn't make as much money in China as a lot of other movies, Hollywood movies do. So, but it makes a ton of, you know, they're going to, you know, end up with, you know, in the top five of, you know, domestic box office before this is done, you know, so.
Oh, easily. Fun little segue joke here I made while we move on to the next topic. I said, cause this happened within a few days of each other, the Fox Disney deal happened, I think like the weekend after The Last Jedi came out. And I was like, don't worry, the Last Jedi will make that. What was, how much was the Fox Disney deal? 50
something billion dollars.
So that's what we're going to discuss next for the next, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes here, is the deal of Disney acquiring the rights to 20th Century Fox. There was discussion several weeks beforehand that the deal started, then it fell through. And then there was even a small rumor that Comcast was interested. And then after that, Disney finally, I guess, got all their ducks in a row and made the deal final. So,
yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest deals ever in the entertainment industry. Basically, the 20th Century Fox Studios, including film and television, are going to Disney. The entire library is going to Disney. The local sports channels, which I was sort of surprised, will be owned by Disney. But obviously the biggest thing when it comes to content wise is, you know, Disney will be getting the X-Men and Fantastic Four and Deadpool back. What that means right now, though, the X-Men stuff and Deadpool that's already in the pipeline, obviously Deadpool 2 comes out this summer. You know, the X-Men Dark Phoenix is later this year. And there's also, another X movie coming out this spring, which is, I forgot what it's called, but it's sort of got like a horror tinge to it. Those are still coming out. That's not going to stop. obviously the worry with some people is like, you know, we can kiss all these like R-rated stuff goodbye, like Logan and the Deadpool movies.
Well, you know, this was my take on it. I think after I processed all of it and I thought about it, you know, I think Disney is going to keep the 20th Century Fox name and do the R-rated movies under this name. So they don't do it under their name.
Yeah, I think that's the 20th Century Fox is not going anywhere. I think that is staying. That will allow Disney to get back into. They've sort of ignored the adult movie business for a while, and which they used to be in for a long time.
Yeah,
that was part of the reason they created the Touchstone label and later Hollywood Pictures, and also they owned Miramax. Which. Pulp Fiction, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, it's I think they'll keep that, because I mean the whole point of this that they acquired is content, and content for their future streaming channels.
Yeah, because they have their streaming service come out, and that, you know, the X-Men thing, you know, to have the rights to that, the content thing, and then the thing that we just discussed, those three things are the top three. The top three reasons for them acquiring 20th Century Fox is to have a studio that can do mature films, the R-rated Deadpool, Logan type movies, and content, and to have the X-Men and all the other Marvel characters that Fox has done.
Oh no, I hope they keep Deadpool to do its own thing. It's obviously very successful as it is. I expect the main X-Men roster and obviously the Fantastic Four to be integrated into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I would not be shocked if Kevin Feige already had a plan in place that if they acquired Fox, I'm sure he, you know, I'm sure he was probably told once before it ever even became public that this might happen. I'm sure he's already worked up a plan on how to integrate the X-Men and Fantastic Four into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we will see if that happens.
I think we could get a good Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, I have a feeling if they ever, when and if they come, there's not going to be a origin story. They're just going to be there, just like
they're just going to be there,
just like they did with Spider-Man. We don't need an origin story again. The X-Men's going to be a little bit harder explaining them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah,
because how do you all of a sudden get the whole mutant thing in? That to me is going to be if they actually truly integrate them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but who knows? They may keep the X-Men in their own separate world. You never know. But I can't imagine that they not do that, because I mean, after the Avengers movie, the only other way up would be Avengers X-Men movie. So
yeah, and I mean, look how quick. I mean, after the whole thing with Sony and Spider-Man, look how quick they got Spider-Man into the thick of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's great content wise. It's not really great for people in Hollywood. A bunch of people are going to lose their jobs over this, because, you know, Disney will look at what's duplicated and get rid of it. But I think part of the reason they bought the Fox film studio and obviously the TV studio is more content. They will still be creating and providing they didn't buy the Fox TV network. But they will, you know, the TV studio will still be providing content for the TV network, but they also have they have the rights to the Simpsons now, the Aliens franchise, the Planet of the Apes franchise.
When you actually sat down and broke down like all the stuff that they have the rights to now, it's kind of mind boggling.
Yeah. And the irony is, you know, now Universal will be cutting Disney another check.
Yeah.
Simpson stuff. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to that whenever the contract for that is up.
And they've been big on American Horror Story, and FX is owned by Fox.
Yeah. So that's also, they have the FX network too, that was, I believe, included was FX and FXX. And so, I mean, it's really about content for the future, for streaming, the other big thing is they also have now the majority stake of Hulu. So, you know, and they've said though that they're still going to be creating their own separate Disney channel. So I have a feeling there's going to be three, you know, you're going to have the Disney one, which will probably have Disney, Marvel, Star Wars. They'll keep Hulu, which will have, you know, keep the TV and probably the more adult content on. And then you'll have ESPN, the ESPN streaming, which will not only have the regular ESPN programming. I have a feeling, you know, obviously based on depending on certain things, it'll also have all that different local sports channel programming.
And all this will allow them to, you know, compete toe-to-toe better with Apple and Google.
Yeah, this is all about the future. You know, it's still going to be interesting because it's, you know, I the only thing, you know, like said, worries me is I don't know how good it's going to be for the creative part of Hollywood. You know, there's also Fox Searchlight that they really release more independent, smaller films than almost anybody else out there. So we're going to see how much, you know, if Disney keeps releasing, you know, a lot of movies, I got to imagine that, you know, they will, because like I said, content is king. And, you know, now you have Netflix stepping into the movie business and are, you know, producing and releasing, you know, creating a ridiculous amount of movies for their platform. So, you know, it's, you know, you may see a little bit of a cut debt back in the amount of, you know, 20th Century Fox and possibly Fox Searchlight films, but I don't think you're going to see much of a cut back because Disney needs that content, you know, and Fox is a lot better at producing adult content than Disney is.
Yeah, and that kind of falls back on my first theory that they're going to use this 20th Century Fox name for the more mature content and such.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's a win for us. You know, whether it's a win for Hollywood, I don't think it is. You know, but we'll see. I mean, it's out of anything Disney has done, this is the biggest gamble they've ever taken. Because, you know, everything else has paid off. Marvel has more than paid for itself. Pixar has more than paid for itself.
You know, Star Wars.
Lucasfilm has more than paid for itself. There's other ones, things they've done that have flopped. You know, some of their internet stuff especially has been, you know, bombs and hasn't done really well. But this is a huge thing, and I really hope it doesn't end up blowing up in Disney's face.
Well, speaking of which, remember we forgot to mention that due to this Fox deal, Iger now extends his stay at Disney through, I believe it's 2019.
Yeah, he will be staying longer. And the other thing I obviously don't like about it is the fact that members of the Murdoch family now have their hands in Disney, and that to me is just, I don't like that at all. I don't want to have anybody from that family having to do with Disney, but I guess one of the sons will have some sort of role at Disney.
I did not know about that.
Yeah. So it's
that's interesting.
I mean, it's interesting. But you know, Disney is Disney. Disney has now become, well, with this deal is going to be the biggest studio, and whether it's going to be good for us, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, it's definitely a big deal, and we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Pays off for the other big thing they get by getting 20th Century Fox is they get the rights to the first Star Wars movie back. So they now fully and completely own the Star Wars catalog. So,
yeah, I forgot. I completely forgot about that because I'm used to seeing the 20th Century Fox logo before.
Yeah.
Because then
some fanboys are like, oh, well, maybe they'll do that again. It's like, why? Lucasfilm is a thing now.
Yeah.
It's I can live without the fanfare. It's like,
I can too.
You know, stop living in nostalgia. So
yeah, time to move on. So, and speaking of which, I think that about wraps it up for us. Hopefully things will start getting back to a more regular schedule here with me, us being able to do weekly podcasts again. And also on the website, it's been kind of lacking. I mean, it's been kind of slow in the theme park world as far as stuff that I want to share on the website. So,
yeah, I mean, things will start picking up. We really want to thank everybody who supported us in 2017. We kicked off this podcast. I feel like, especially those of us who stuck by while Clint was on his 6-month sabbatical. thank you for sticking by when it was just me running around doing things. Thank you for 2017. Thanks for listening to this new podcast. Clint and I, have talked about a lot of things. We got some plans for 2018 to really take Thrill Geek into a whole new direction. So stay tuned.
as I mentioned on Twitter, January, I go by when the first article was published on the website, and that's January 25th. January 25th will be 5 years for Thrill Geek. And I was kind of blown away by that because it really doesn't feel like it's been 5 years. It feels like it's been 10.
I know. And it's pretty amazing. And I've been lucky enough to be along now for almost a year and a half.
I always say I can't thank you enough for everything you do, especially in parks. And, I'm not able to get out to the parks due to my family situation with 3 kids. So I hope you understand how much I really do appreciate everything you've done this, what you said, year and a half about.
Yeah, it's sort of
give or take.
And it's because, what's more, as a lot of people don't realize, it's this is like a second full-time job.
you and I have embarked
on here, with the hope that it will pay off one day. But we do it cause it's fun. And, I love, I love going when we go to the parks, I love, posting everybody, posting up online and, telling everybody, sharing a little slice of our life with everybody. And, it's always fun. And it's always fun to run into people, random people in the parks, and who, will say hi and, thank us for the coverage we do. So it's
theme parks have always been my passion. And like I tell everybody, Thrill Geek just was created as an outlet for me to share that passion. So, I thank everybody for all the support they've given me and you over the last 5 years. So hopefully we'll have some fun here in 2018, with some fun stuff coming up. So as usual, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Thrill Geek. And Instagram at Thrill Geek. I discontinued the shirts. That's one thing that we can do here in 2018 is come up with some more shirt designs. And so the shirts aren't available anymore. Not to say that one couldn't come back in the future, but for right now, I stopped the sale or whatever you want to call it. So shirts are no more. So if you bought one of those, thank you. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can come up with some more fun ideas for t-shirts later this year. So
yeah, that's all part of some of the different things we're thinking about for this year. And remember to subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/thrillgeek, where we will have new content coming up soon. Especially with Mardi Gras coming and all the different things coming this spring and some new ideas we've got that will be coming to the YouTube channel. And
yep.
I'm at Culture and Thrills on Twitter and Instagram. And please feel free to follow me. And I give you a little bit more pop culture news than the stuff we post on Thrill Geek.
Yeah, and you guys, I usually don't plug my personal account, but I do have a personal account. It's at cgamash83, my last name. For those of you that know it, it's a weird last name. But if you want to follow me on there, you can. So, all right, guys, till next time. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys again next time.
See you in the parks.